This is Iron Mike Stedman, and as always, I want to thank you for tuning into our show, the legendary Dog Whistle Brandon. I'm going to get straight to the point. If you're afraid to invest in your brand, in the words of Logan Roy from the HBO hit show Succession, you are not serious people. I'm all about staying lean, driving sales, and maximizing profitability. Hell, I'm a bootstrapper and damn proud of it. Truth be told, you can start a business these days with a Google Doc, a menu of products and services, and a hit list of potential prospects. I've done it multiple times, and even I'll admit that can only get you so far. If you want to be taken seriously and become a Category 1, you must be willing to invest in your brand, which Drew and I discuss on today's show. Before we jump in, make sure you subscribe to our newsletter at the link in the show notes. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you purchased a copy of my first book, Black Veteran Entrepreneur, Validate Your Business Model, Build Your Brand, and Step into Greatness, available on Amazon at the link in the show notes as well. All right, enough of me talking. Gunny, get them ready.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
You're listening to Dog Whistle Branding, brought to you by the team at Ironbound Media and The Misfits, a branding and design studio that unfucks brands. I'm your host, Iron Mike Stedman, the godfather of Dog Whistle Branding and co-founder of The Misfits, along with my design partner in crime, Drew O'Brien. Dog Whistle Branding is sponsored by JobPaths and Mission Plus, a tech platform that helps nonprofit organizations upgrade their websites and leverage technology to deliver services online. You can learn more at missionplus.com. All right, get out your pen and paper and get ready to build a dog whistle brand. Saddle up, lock and load. My main Drew, what's going on, bro?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Here's why. Number one, I've been getting reached out to on Instagram by all these designers that started tuning into our show once we had Dan on from Lincoln Design Co. And so many of them said they tuned in for that particular episode, but then they fell down the rabbit hole of DWB and they're going through all our back catalog and content. So I just want to say how much I appreciate y'all that do that, because we love hearing feedback and stuff from the show. So much of what we do here is really education, right? We're just trying to share what we've learned, best practices, provide some great, viable, actionable content. And the fact that it's resonating with a lot of you all, super inspirational to me.
Yeah, same here. As soon as Dan put up the podcast announcement on his Instagram, Make Cool Shit, we got some followers as well. Once again, shout out to everybody who reached out to us. They mentioned how they loved our work, right? Obviously, some of that stuff is the Misfit stuff here as well, which Mike and I are a part of. But overall, you could clearly tell that Lincoln Design Company has a great following and so many designers. Basically, everybody that reached out to us was a graphic designer of some way, shape, or form.
So before we talk into today's topic, though, me and Drew have been texting back and forth about some different stuff. I want to talk about Misfits, Drew, all right? Because I think we're on to something. You know, we got two different businesses. You know, I got Ironbound Media. You got We Make Cool Shit. We decided to come together to provide a premium service to both our networks. And I've just noticed such a pull to it, how much it's resonating with people. Even just the name, the messaging, the Misfits, whether it's with the branding stuff or even with my coaching clients. And so I want to talk about Misfits a little bit. And why do you think it's resonating so much with maybe people from my network?
I think it is resonating with the people from your network because they've never seen an agency have the vibe, for lack of a better term, the messaging, right? Our tagline is unfuck your brand, right? For the Misfits, it's kind of stylistically, it's kind of purposely a bite off of Make Cool Shit, right? It's that edgy vibe. I think it's resonating with your audience, the your own version of the Misfits and the underdogs, right? Because it's just a piece of content that they are almost taken aback by, right? Because every other agency we talk about all the time is the blazer wearing, khaki wearing company, right? That is just going to do exactly what the client asks of them, right? So I think the big reason why is not even necessarily the work, right? Because everybody can do amazing work, but it's how you position yourself.
Why do you think we work so good together at it?
I think you're an amazing salesperson, right? I don't think you consider yourself that amazing salesperson, but you really are. You have a good way of getting the point across in a way that's concise. I'm a rambler. I do it all the time. My wife makes fun of me all the time. My partner, Phil, tells me to shut the hell up all the time because I go down rabbit holes. But I think it's the perfect combination of both of our strategies together, you and I. And then it's my design expertise. And then it's your salesperson and branding strategy expertise. It's really just a testament of how quickly something could be spun up, right? I don't know if you are comfortable talking about numbers here, but we got a couple clients already and we haven't really done any work whatsoever in terms of trying to get those clients. And we've already made 5 figures. We'll just leave it at that, right?
Yeah.
And maybe no, out fuck of
it. We can tell it. I mean, our minimum is 10K. So we've already sold 2 packages. That's 20K right there. We got a third one in the shoot now. This is us building in public too, because, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, one of our clients, I want you to know how we think. Right. If you're somebody that's thinking about working with us, I want you to kind of see behind the scenes. And we're not saying that's like braggadocious. It's just that we can be more radically generous with our time, with what we can do and what we can provide by charging a premium. And so that was one of the things we tested right off the bat, was like, hey, let's set this minimum that way, because it's a joint venture. So just making sure that we're both good and we can give it the time and stuff that it deserves. And so far, I'm just like, OK, wow, man, it feels like there's really this market pull here. And I was talking to my coaching group today, because I'm part of a No BS agency. And, you know, when I first started Ironbound Media, I didn't feel like I had to look under the table for money, because it was in the pandemic. A lot of people were interested in podcasting, et cetera. But now, as the space is kind of changing, less people seem interested in podcasting as much. You know, I still love podcasts because I love coming on here, chopping it up. I love creating educational content. But just in terms of the inbound leads I've been getting, right? Not as much. And so I spun up the Misfits as a way to kind of de-risk, you know, my business model. But so far, so good. Like, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. And you and I have been friends for 5, 6, 7 years now. We've always talked about working together, but it just goes to show, when two business owners are motivated, not just by money, but motivated in general, and they know how to kick up dirt and they know how to spin something up quickly. We did 10 hours worth of work, max, actual work. Yeah. Take away brainstorming, right? Because we brainstormed the whole weekend when we were together. But 10 hours of work essentially equaled now 20K worth of revenue, right? That's not us bragging. That's just more so saying, hey, we put our, you know, nose to the grindstone, or ear to the grindstone. I don't know what the correct statement is.
I think ear to the grindstone.
Ear to the grindstone. And we just got shit done, right? And that's allocated $20,000 of revenue. And Mike, to your point, this is a compliment to you of joining the Misfits and creating it with me, because you've seen that, okay, you've seen the podcast landscape. It's changing a bit, right? So you could continuously go down a road that is extremely difficult to gain that client, or you could be creative, spin something up, and then all of a sudden have another 10K revenue coming in this month that you didn't have before.
Yeah. And that's, I think what has been super helpful, though, is like the infrastructure that we do have with Ironbound Media, between the newsletter and the podcast and the private communities we've been a part of, because that's all I've been doing. I've just been kind of sharing it, right? I shared it in a newsletter, people booked on my calendar, right? Dropped in a private Slack channel, people booked on the calendar, and then on my LinkedIn. And, you know, when we came together, that was one of the things that you were looking to have kind of support with, of like, yo, man, how are you nurturing your prospects? Like, what's your system? You got a funnel. But like, how are you leveraging content? And you got your IG, you make these really great reels, but it's a different story when I start sharing the stuff that you put together through my channels, and then vice versa. Because I think the key for us on a marketing perspective is just going to be to share our portfolio of what we've done. You know, the last newsletter I sent out, all I did was share websites that I had done. You know, I shared my first coaching website, then I shared the second one. Then I shared some examples of sites that I like that I used as inspiration. And I showed the mini brand guide that you had put together, and boom, somebody booked on my calendar.
Yeah. And as a business owner, you don't realize how many different sectors that you need to hit in order to nurture a client, right? So the reason why the Misfits is working is because I already have my infrastructure on Make Cool Shit. You have your infrastructure on Ironbound. You had the things that I was lacking, and I had the things that you were lacking. Right. Yeah. So we just combine those two. And if you're listening to this and you're a Make Cool Shit client, you might be confused because you got a newsletter out of the blue. That's because I shared my client list with Mike. And now everybody that's a Make Cool Shit client is part of Dog Whistle Branding. And we got a couple of shout outs personally. My buddy Dimitri Lelis, shout out Coalition Coffee, shout out Arabica Coffee, clients of ours. But it resonated with him, right? He loves Succession, but even as a business owner, he really appreciated the tone that we were setting. His first question actually was, who the hell is this Mike Stedman guy? Right?
Yeah.
That was actually his first question. But at the end of the day, it just shows that you need 75 different things going on at all time in your marketing efforts in order to get that client. It's not just purely referral, right? We've learned that the hard way. You can't just purely live by referrals.
One thing is that, like, we spun this up quick, right? So it's not like we, you know, did a whole business model canvas on the sucker and everything. And I was like, you know, Dog Whistle Brand is a joint publication. That's what it is. It's a publication between, you know, Ironbound Media and Make Cool Shit, right? And I talked to Drew about it. I was like, should we just rebrand the whole thing and call it The Misfits? But Dog Whistle Brand also resonates with people, right? There's already some traction out there. But, like, I didn't wait until things to be perfect before I was like, made this announcement. I said, you know what? Let me write this newsletter. Let me go ahead and add Drew's audience, right? And then I'm going to make the announcement in the actual newsletter. We could have done a whole press release and yada, 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 and we're doing all that. But, man, we're entrepreneurs like y'all. We're head down, right? We already got existing content. We got client delivery stuff we got to do. So that kind of goes in my philosophy of don't be afraid to start ugly. So now we've sent out that first newsletter, right? A bunch of people didn't unsubscribe, right? So now we're just going to keep it going.
Granted, we're a little bit lucky that we get to start a little prettier than most ugly people because we have the design background. But I do get where you're coming from, because so many people that I know that want to start a business, the first thing you and I didn't need to worry about, because first thing is just taking that dive and going into the deep end and saying, fuck it, and starting that business, right? That's the hardest part. You and me, we didn't need that. We've already done it, right? But the second part is, I think where most business owners really kind of halt themselves is where they're like, okay, I need to get these 353 things ready to go before I officially go live and before I announce it. Sure, if you already have money and you're loaded already and you want to start everything perfect, great. That's maybe the 0.1% of businesses, right? I'd rather the people get their proof of concept out there, right? Keep bringing it back to us. Our proof of concept was 10 hours worth of work and just say, okay, let's see if this works. If it doesn't work, what do we lose? A little bit of our time, right? Rather than we could have done this massive rollout. We could have invested $50,000 into the business. We could have had all this infrastructure. And then it would be 8 months before we actually got out the first newsletter or announced our first, you know, post on Instagram, right? Yeah. Instead, head down, get it out there. If it sucks, you tweak it. If it's great, you keep it moving.
You just gave me a title. We're doing a rolling rebrand, right? We're doing it in, we've already launched. We're figuring it out because it can feel a little clunky. It's like, I'm going to do all this other stuff. But now we're doing it as we go, right? There's still a lot of stuff I got to do. I still got to re-record the intro for Dog Whistle Brandon with Drew. Right? Got to do all that stuff. But, like, we're not slowing down, right? And again, the content's resonating with people as is, because people are reaching out to us and letting us know, like, what they think, which I think is, you know, super dope. What I'm excited about is continuing to share the assets, the design stuff on our channels, right? Because, again, when I think about our flywheel, right, doing the work and showing the work is going to be key, because people see that, it resonates, and they're like, yo, man, I need to get on your calendar. I need to get on your calendar, and we can roll from there. And we're just getting warmed up. That's the part. And I'm going to be honest. Let me take off my armor. I have lived vicariously through Drew since I met him. The fact that he's been able to spin up logos and stuff and brand identities, like, I'm kind of slightly jealous. And my business coach is a branding person. So I'm in there with all these brand people. And for the longest, I've just been the podcast guy. But now with the Misfits, right, I get to scratch that itch.
Going back to why I think it works is, right, between you and I, obviously, I have my 10,000 hours in design and creative and strategy. You have your 10,000 hours in other sectors that we don't have, right? Another good lesson for business owners is, if you do want to take on a partner in whatever business that it is, if I took you on as a partner in the Misfits and you were another designer and you thought the way I did and you talked the way I did and you act the way I did and you looked the way I did, it wouldn't make much sense, because then there wouldn't be any value for you, right? You need to bring in a partner that has skill sets that your other partner doesn't have, I never claim to be a salesperson. When it comes to Make Cool Shit, I don't sell. I don't use like certain keywords. I don't use certain philosophies to get them to sign on with us. I just speak from the heart. I speak, I'm educated in our topic. And then if you don't like what we do, then you're never going to sign up with us anyway, which kind of brings me back to Mike and I have been talking about sending out proposals, right? In my agency, Make Cool Shit, I have never sent out a proposal in the history of our business. And for the listener, what I mean by that is client comes to us, they say, hey, I need to rebrand my entire company. Great. We hop on a call. Then we send a 35-page PowerPoint deck that talks about our company, right? In reality, if you didn't like that first original call, that 40-page document is just going to be 35 hours of your time and it's going to waste your time.
Right.
Right. So Misfits, not only have we gotten $20,000 worth of business with no proposal, but we got $20,000 worth of business with like 3% of the effort that we would put on Make Cool Shit and Ironbound, right? So it just goes to show whatever business that you're in, if you're skilled in that specific topic, don't hesitate, because the longer you hesitate, you're actually losing money. And that's what people don't realize, right? One, I hate to always give Phil props, but if something doesn't work and you tweak it, and if you're tweaking something for 6-7 months, and you're scared to put it out, those 6-7 months, you could have signed a client in that amount of time.
Right.
Or if you're a retail shop, if you didn't put up the sale that you were scared to do, you would have missed the 6 or 7, months. You would have missed 100 shoppers that would have bought $20,000 worth of product, right? You can't be paralyzed by fear. It's easy to say. I understand that, right? I'm 7 years into running my business. Mike, you're around the same time. We get it. We've done it. But at the same time, if you're listening to this and you want to start your business, you don't have to do it 100% perfectly the right way.
Yeah.
You just got to get it done.
Especially when it comes to marketing too. This is the thing. I got to take so many people from zero to hero, and they want that first newsletter, that first podcast to be so damn perfect. And I'm like, listen, you got to get the reps in, like talk to me after we drop 50 or 100, talk to me after we send 40 newsletters. But like this first one, just get it out, because you haven't done nothing. And people have been sitting in that auditorium with nobody speaking to them. Because guess what? You got that newsletter that you've never sent an email out, that list that you've never nurtured, right? Just start, man. And I'll say this too. This is another reason Drew and I work together. The newsletter I wrote up yesterday, I didn't ask him permission for it. I didn't ask him what he thinks, whatever. He saw it the same way his list saw it. Right. And immediately he texts me. He goes, yo, that's a badass newsletter. And the stuff start rolling in. And so it's like sometimes, man. But you do got to have good people you can trust, too. So like this just happened now. Right. Got a Misfits client doing his website. All I did was give the brand information, the write up and some of the stuff I've already done. I sent it to Drew. He sent me that website today. I was already blown away. I was like, bro, this site is amazing. But that's how we work. And I try to surround myself with people like that. And like, if I go to a designer or a podcaster or somebody, I keep a bench. So if I'm coming to you, I'm coming to you because I want your style of work. I'm not trying to micromanage you. But I think in business, people try to step in other people's lane so much, that it's like ineffective, because now you're like this sales guy, don't know shit about design, don't know shit about branding, right? And you're trying to critique the design guy's work.
Yeah, and there's levels to it, right? In small businesses, mom and pop shops, a local spot in Newark or a local spot in Montclair, let's say they're doing under $1 million in sales. Those are the entrepreneurs that have to do everything themselves, right? But at the same time, they are the worst clients to have as a podcast client or a branding client, because they don't trust someone fully to do their work, right? So Mike, you're in the minority in that case where you didn't even ask me anything about the design of the website. We just tweaked it, right? And ironically, to bring it back to Dimitri, my buddy who I referenced earlier, he told me about the podcast. He's like, he texted me, he's like, you're not serious people. And I respond, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, where did I get this email? Then, so put it this way. Not only did I wait until my client saw it, my clients had to text me to tell me that I saw it, right? But going back to picking the right partner, that does fall into trust, right? If you don't trust the other person that you agreed to share a business with, then there is no way that you guys are going to grow, because it's always going to be constant micromanaging. And there's nothing worse than a micromanager boss, nothing worse than a micromanager client. I stop myself, or at least I try to stop myself with our team here at Make Cool Shit. I don't want to be that guy. And when I am that guy, I even told my team to be like, yo, Drew, I gave them the freedom to call me out, right? Because there's nothing worse than a micromanager.
Yeah, we're entrepreneurs, man. We ain't got time to micromanage. We're on to the next thing. We're quick starts, right? We need to be off to the races. Like, you know, I pass you design stuff. I'm working on something else. I'm not sitting there itching like, oh my God, Drew, hurry up, Drew, hurry up. You know, now sometimes I am when it's my own stuff because I can't wait to see and I know it's going to be fire, but in terms of how we work together. Now, let's talk about today's topic and that newsletter. You're not serious people. Drew, why the hell should people invest $10,000 in design?
Well, I want to be clear. $10,000 is our floor price for the Misfits.
That's our floor price. Yeah.
That's our get-in price. But the simple answer is we will give our client the first impression that every business needs, right? Yeah. People think about design and marketing and creative, that whole sector, as if there's no ROI. Right.
Right.
Some people, by the way, the wrong clients think that $10,000 is an absurd price to build a brand. Now, in reality, $10,000 could change your business to doing $250,000 a year to $1 million a year. Right. If you go and get your brand built by Fiverr, nothing against the talented people at Fiverr, but you're going to pay $600, $500 for building a brand. It's going to be a Shutterstock template. It's going to be unoriginal. Your competitors are going to look better than you. You invest in your brand because over time, it builds you ROI and it builds you clients, and clients trust you and you look like a billion-dollar brand from day one for $10,000. There's a reason why a company like Accenture, granted they are a massive company, but I think they paid like $1.5 million for their logo refresh, right? How much money did that save Accenture down the line, right? You can't exactly quantify what it is, but when you look at a brand like McDonald's, right? If you took a bag of French fries or a carton of French fries, right? And it was just a white package with no logo on it, and you put the fries in the middle, you wouldn't be able to tell what brand that's coming from. But if you put the French fries in that red and yellow carton with the golden arches in it, it's immediately, wow, I'm hungry. Wow, I need that.
Yeah.
That brings me back to childhood, right? But people don't realize that that brand was built purposely. Red and yellow, mustard. It literally, ketchup and mustard, obviously, but it brings it back to nostalgia, and that's part of the brand. The commercials for McDonald's are always parents bringing their kids in for Happy Meals. That's not by accident. That's all part of the brand, and it's all built starting with something like a 10K package with the Misfits. It's something that isn't a direct correlation. If you spend 10, you'll get 20, but if you spend 500, you're going to get zero.
Right. And to be clear, like, we liked it if you would work with us, but even if you don't work with us, the whole thing I'm trying to say is that, like, it does matter. Good design does matter. You know, the person that did my coaching website, ironmikestedman.com, I found her because she specializes in Notion, right? I was looking at this, like, Notion website builder, and I saw her stuff on there, and I reached out to her, and I paid her $5,000 to help me create, like, a, you know, my own personal coaching website, because I already know that the caliber of people I'm going after, you know, it's not a small feat to come out of pocket, you know, $1,500 a month, $2,500 a month to work with a professional business coach. And I can't rightly ask these people to hand over that money if I'm not showing up to the market correct. And like I said in my newsletter, listen, I'm all about being lean, right? I have the skill set of branding so I can get started. I know how to get myself started. But at a certain point, when the margin's right, I bring in the Drew, you know, or I go hire this person over there, right? And it's something that is already like cognitively on my mind. Like, I'm already planning for it. Hey, the minute I get, you know, X number of revenue or whatever, I'm going to go ahead and lean in and start to invest in branding, because there's too much competition now. There's too much competition to be raggedy. Like, somebody, and I'm not going to name him, he showed me his site yesterday after he read my newsletter and said, what do you think? And I looked at him. I was like, you're not serious, people. I was like, literally in the newsletter, I showed you how to do a hero page, right? I broke it down Barney style and I gave examples. And then when I pull up your website, right? Nothing. No call to action. No description, right? Little image you made on ChatGPT that ain't even, you know, organized in the right way. And it's like, man, you got to like, you know, you got to decide, you know? And if you got to bootstrap and be scrappy, right? We're going to create some assets for you all. Drew doesn't know this, but like, I want to create like a website wireframe, you know, the Misfit website wireframe or something, right? Where people can just know like, hey, this is where your butt needs to go. This is this, this is this, just to kind of get started. And then you and I can kind of come in and clean it up. But what you can't do is you can't go out there just so damn raggedy, right? I just don't get it.
The people that come out raggedy, which, by the way, I love that word. We need to put that on our website somewhere.
I'm writing it down.
The people that come out raggedy and start raggedy, their business is raggedy. That's usually a telltale sign that they're not serious people, right? So, and if people, if you don't understand the quote that we're going over, it's in Succession. I don't know what season, but the main character, Brian Cox, he tells his children that they're not serious people when they want to go ahead and take over the company, right? So it's the dad telling his children, you don't got it. Why did that clip resonate with you? It resonated with me because I thought it was hilarious, but in all good humor, there's truth.
So first off, I got to admit, I haven't even seen the whole seasons of Succession. I saw like maybe 8 episodes of season 1. And then I was at a dinner, like a startup dinner. It was all these entrepreneurs. And this VC was talking about how he gets pitched all the time, right? But sometimes people don't got their shit together. And he looks at him and he goes like, you're not serious people. And then the guy next to him was like, oh, you watch Succession too? I was like, what are you guys talking about? So I went back and I watched the little clip where he sits down and he talks to his kids and they're about to blow up this deal, you know, just out of spite. And he goes like, I love you all, but you're such fucking dopes. He's like, you're not serious figures. He's like, you're not serious people. And it resonated with me because even as a business coach, right? So many people talk about how they want to build successful businesses, but then you ask them, hey, are you investing in coaching? Are you investing in yourself? Have you done quarterly planning? Have you done annual planning? And the answer is no. And like my, your version of that is really like, you ain't got it, right? You know how many people come to us and say, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur or whatever. But then when they start facing that cash flow struggle, right? And they just, they're not getting after it. They're not creating offers. They're not tweaking stuff. They can't handle it. It's like, you just ain't got it. And so I actually meant to send that newsletter out in regards to business coaching, but something just inspired me. Maybe because I've been so deep in kind of design. I was on some calls with people. People were like, yeah, I'm thinking about getting a site, but like not yet. I'll come back to you. And then I just kind of wrote that newsletter and put it out there.
It's funny because it's true, right? And like I said earlier, there's always humor in the truth. And those people that are not serious people are the raggedy people, are the people that will not invest in themselves. You could start raggedy, you could bootstrap, right? You don't need 10K to build your brand to start a business, right? I'm not mandating that, right? For us, we want the clients that believe in that, right? Because that's what we believe in. But one other thing that I believe social media has poisoned everybody with is that how hard it is to actually run a business day to day. Putting out 50,000 fires. I have 100 clients hitting me up at all times every day. I have a team that helps me, sure, but at the end of the day, the buck stops with me, right? So if my team can't handle it, I got to handle it. There's been, in 7 years, there's been one or two times where I haven't even paid myself, right? That's a shitty feeling. But what did I do? I looked at my finances. I looked at my business. I created a plan. I then created the subscription plan. Whatever it is, you have to adjust to the market and figure out what the hell am I doing, right? Yeah. Mike, I gave you credit earlier. You spun up this Misfits thing because we kind of just wanted to be boys and work on projects, but you've already made an extra 10K and you didn't have to do much work. But I'm not bragging about your skill set. I'm giving you props because you saw something, you saw an opening, you saw that you could use your skill set to do something different, right? If you're stuck in your ways, And I know this because I used to be stuck in my ways, right? If you're stuck in your ways as a business owner, you just keep, you know, kicking down the same door over and over, you're not going to be in business very long. And on social media, everybody makes it seem like it's rosy. Meanwhile, most people's Ferraris on Instagram are rented and that the house that they're filming in is their cousin's house, right? Entrepreneurship is hard. It's not for everybody. And there's either serious people and there's not so serious people.
Yeah. Yesterday, man, I was at the coffee shop. I was trying to tweak some of my coaching offers, right? Because I got this book, Coach Builder by Donald Miller. Shout out to Donald Miller. He wrote Building a Story Brand. And one of the things he talks about in the first chapter of the book is, you know, for coaching, you know, $1,500 a month or $2,500 a month on retainer is a little bit too vague. You need to price those things. You need to name them. You know, you need to position them accordingly. So I'm there. We call it tweaking. I'm there like tweaking, working on some offers and stuff, writing it down in my little Moleskine and updating my little Google Doc. But like, that's the game, man. You know, especially for bootstrappers like us, right? Selling products and services, professional services, you know, the offer is everything. And so working on getting that right. And this is what I want to say about design. Well, I actually want to unpack this a little bit. I believe that entrepreneurship is too hard to not be proud of what you've built. You should not be embarrassed to show somebody your website or to show them some client work you've done, right? And so much, like, I'm a visual person. So even when I meet with entrepreneurs that are aspiring entrepreneurs, I'm like, show me what you got. That most of them don't got anything. I'm talking about not even a Google Doc. So you need something visually to show people as you're talking about your idea, even if it's not existence yet. Right? Like, I'm working with a startup company. They haven't actually built the product yet, but they're raising capital for it. So we need some landing pages. We need some copy. We need to really be able to sell that vision so that as they're raising, they have something to show people.
You made a great point. And we need to somehow put that into a sentence and put it onto our site. Because if you're not proud, no matter who built your brand, no matter what your strategy is or whatever, if you're not proud of what you're selling, how the fuck are you going to sell it, right? If you're scared to show someone your website, you know, it's because it's raggedy and you haven't put any time and effort into it, right? If you aren't proud, if you don't want to scream your accomplishments as an entrepreneur from the top of the rooftops, then what are we really doing? Now, on the flip side, I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite because as an entrepreneur, you're usually in the foxhole, you know. Honestly, I can't do all the military references like Mike. I tried to give it a Marine reference, but you're always working on something and it's very, very hard to stop and say, wow, Mike and I just made 20 grand off of a week's worth of work.
Right.
Right. It's hard to give yourself the flowers in the moment, right? And I sound like a broken record, but the shit that we do is hard, man. When you get home and you're trying to unwind, I got to say to myself, times like, yo, man, I just fucking kicked today's ass.
Yeah. And I need to go celebrate. Like, that's the thing too. I'll tell y'all out there, get a win, go celebrate. I'm going to go celebrate today. You know, I got a couple wins, closed like a couple clients over the last few weeks, which feels really good. But, you know, sometimes we're our own worst critic, right? Because we still got a long way of where we're trying to go. Now, before we wrap up, though, I want to pick your brain on something, Drew. You know, I describe myself as a brand strategist, right? I've never claimed to do design, right? Now, I can white frame stuff out. I can tweak the copy. I can help you nail your messaging and your category. But here's what I'm learning. See, I think brand strategy is too vague. I think we need to unpack that, right? So what does brand strategy include? Let's say messaging. But that's not even good, right? How about copy that converts into sales, you know, or something along those lines, right? Because also, like, people say, oh, because, you know, it's 10K, 25K is a lot to invest, especially for a small business owner. But what we're doing is we're showing that, hey, design can actually lead to cash flow. And I don't know if sometimes design in itself should be isolated away from branding, right? So it's like, do we need to separate the two? Do we need to say, hey, design, which includes this, and then branding is this?
When people hear the word brand, they usually just assume it's a logo, right? What branding really is a multitude of things, the term I use all the time, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. That's what I use as a holistic term for the brand. But there's two subcategories to what a brand is. There's a visual identity, which is the nerdy graphic design term for what you're talking about with the design. So that is the entire style guide. That is the signage. That's how the marketing is going to look. That's the color palette, the typography, primary logo, secondary logo, badge logo, all of what Make Cool Shit does on the visual side. Underneath the word brand in the other category is a brand identity. That is the messaging, the tone, the feel of what the brand is. So the two need to work together to build a proper brand. If you have a aggressive visual identity, so your logo is like, your logo has like a panther claw going through it and it's ripping through it and it looks super aggressive. And then your copy is like, oh, well, welcome to this new gym that we are kind of scared to train people. It doesn't resonate. And then you look like, you look disjointed and then your client is confused. You need to match the visual identity with the brand identity. Most people don't have that education, but I'm pretty sure when you Google what is a brand, it'll kind of go into something like that. But the messaging and the copy and the tone is just as important as a dope logo, because if everything is not cohesive, then you are just looking raggedy and confused. And more importantly, we're saying all of this from the consumer's perspective, right? We're not just saying all of these things because we're educated on these topics. If I go on a website and it doesn't make sense, I'm not giving you my money. It's as simple as that.
I like the fact that you emphasize importance of brand as well as the design. Well, not incorporating both, because even I think about what we were doing with Misfits, right? We created the landing page, but it's just a landing page without the copy, right? The logo matches the copy. And then when we wrote out a little smiley face, right? And we got to describe, why does he make that look? Is it because he sees your fucked up brand? You know, is it the you're not serious people? Like, I don't know. We need to give it a little tone with it. But like me and you just work so good together, because I'm like, hey, I need this because I know these things are going to make us memorable. I know that they're going to stand out. You know, they're going to keep us top of mind with people, because the space that we're in, nobody is doing it like we are. And I know that of the God knows how many vendors are pitching my network, none of them have a personality like you and me and what we've built under the Misfits.
Now, most business owners are scared to be themselves. And why am I saying that? Because I was that guy for 5 out of the 7 years of me running my business, right? I finally said, fuck it, and I'm going to be me. But outside of our little ecosystem, Mike, with our clients and your clients, right? Like, we are in the 1% of business owners in terms of being ourselves, right? If you are going into a meeting or you're trying to sell someone at your local t-shirt store and you're not being yourself and you're pretending to be somebody else in the sale, it shows, right? It's not easy to put yourself out there, right? I have more personal stuff on our Make Cool Shit Instagram than I ever had before. I never wanted to put that out there. I never really wanted to be the face of anything. And then joke's on me, because Nicole, our social media manager, she'll put something out. And analytically, when I talk about something, when I'm talking about myself or whatever, it performs the most, right? Versus just putting up a post of a beautiful visual identity brand, right? At the end of the day, your personal life does need to somewhat match the brand on the small business level, right? When you get to $1 billion brands and everything, then it's just a corporate machine. But locally, small business owners, if your vibe doesn't match your store, that also goes into the brand. So to piggyback on that piece, the branding is also, if you're a restaurant, are your napkins the same color purple from your style guide, right? Is the menu design have the same exact font that's on the website? Does the website have the same font on your logo? Is your logo represented in multiple ways in venue, right? So that's why people pay anybody big money to build a proper brand, because there's about 150 different elements that go into it.
100%. And like, we're leaning in the color. I think that red and black and white looks fire, right? And I think our little cartoon figure looks fire. We need to name him, our little mascot, right? Because man, I'm just excited, bro. I'm excited for what we're doing. I'm excited to work with you, have you as a co-host on the podcast. It just feels really good, man, and it feels right. And we're just getting warmed up because, you know, everyone needs good design. There's not a business out there, really, that doesn't need a website, right? This doesn't need a brand identity, that doesn't need these things. And so I think we're going to get a strong market pull, and I look forward to our podcast together where we're kind of chopping it up and sharing insights and interviewing different guests and stuff. And so just appreciate you, man.
I mean, all I could say is likewise.
What we want to do too is we want to keep the feedback loop going. So if there's topics you want us to cover on the show, right, or in the newsletter, just reach out to us, right? Subscribe to the newsletter. It's at the link in the show notes, Dog Whistle Brandon. It's easy to find. And just keep tuning in, man, and hopefully we provide value to you all. And we love hearing from you. So until next time, everyone, peace, love. Have a great rest of your week. Dog Whistle Branding is brought to you by the team at Ironbound Media, where we blend strategy, storytelling, and podcasting to transform your brand into a dog whistle for your perfect customer. We believe that audio is the future of publishing, and we're committed to leading the movement. You can learn more by visiting our website, ironboundmedia.com. This series is powered by Mission Plus, a tech platform that helps nonprofit organizations upgrade their websites and leverage technology to deliver their services online. If your organization cares about its mission, then it needs to be built on Mission Plus. You can learn more by visiting missionplus.com.